As mentioned, this week we have a double parsha. So we go from Matos into Masei. And today, of course, the fourth day of the week, Wednesday, is the day when the parshiyos get conjoined. We spent the last 2 days studying Parshas Matos, and so we will spend today and tomorrow studying Masei. And we're going to take it from the top. The last Torah portion, in the fourth book, begins with an accounting of the journeys, the ancient journeys of our ancestors in the Sinai Desert, as they left the land of Egypt and moved Eretz Yisraelward. So the Torah says, Eila Masei V'nei Yisrael. These are the journeys of the children of Israel, Asher Yatzu Me'eretz Mitzrayim, who left the land of Egypt, Litzivesam, and their hosts, B'yad Moshe V'Aharon, in the hand of Moshe and Aaron. Ramban says that the reason it's important for us to hear about these journeys is because there were a multitude of miracles that took place as we moved through the desert. I don't remember where I saw this and the exact details, but a professional who deals with, I guess what you would call logistics. I think he had worked for the Israeli army for a number of years. He did a logistical calculation of how many tractor trailers it would have taken to feed the Jewish people in the desert on a daily basis. And if my memory doesn't fail me, it was something like 22,000 tractor trailers a day to feed the 3 million people who walked through the desert. 22 tractor trailers. Something enormous. I don't know if it was 22,000 or 22, like a crazy amount of tractor trailers just filled with food and hydration. Well, you're talking about feeding 3 million people. You got to figure it out, right? 600,000 just males between the age of 20 to 60. Okay, so you have another 600,000 automatically of females between the age of 20 to 60. That's 1.2 million. Then you have everybody who's under the age of 20, everybody who's over the age of 20, right? So if they had been 20 at the time, so they all die when they're 60. I mean, the numbers are astronomical. Astronomical numbers. So we have all these astronomical numbers, besides the fact that there was manna that fell from heaven, and there was this also this idea of the miraculous Be'er Shel Miriam, this well that just would open up on a regular basis, and we're talking about the snakes and scorpions that were killed. I mean, just like miracle upon miracle upon miracle, and anybody who will hear this will say, like, oh, come on, really? How is that possible? We're talking about 40 years of daily miracles. Of course, that's the festival of Sukkot, what it commemorates. So Ramban says, because of this, Hashem wants to go through the details in the Torah. He says, okay, here's the exact places, because you talk about a place, an actual place, not just like a theory. So it was many miracles. Where? I'm not sure where, exactly where. Some nebulous area, somewhere in the Sinai Desert. Something here's, you want to know how many journeys are? Here's the details of the journeys. Here's where we came, here's where we went, here's where we stopped, and so on and so forth. It makes the story much more compelling. It makes it, like, if you will, more believable. Understood that 33 centuries later, it's hard to make that argument that it makes it more compelling, because right now it's 33 centuries ago. But certainly in the beginning of our peoplehood, when there was people who actually had been on these journeys, or at least their parents had been in these journeys, or they heard from their grandparents, and everybody had the same locations, and they would tell over the stories, this made sure that the miracle would become promulgated and widely known. And this is the approach that Ramban takes. The Sephorno emphasizes that We wish to delineate the journeys because we want to shine a light on the loyalty of the Jewish people. As the prophet says, and we read this in a Rosh Hashanah Haftorah, Lechtech acharai be'eretz lezerua. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu says the Jewish people were meritorious. Why? They followed me in a desert, a place that doesn't grow. We didn't know what tomorrow would bring. And so you read the Torah, you hear kvetching, complaining, all these shortcomings. But on the other hand, it's pretty impressive that we just went into the desert without so much as a sandwich, with dough on our backs. And we managed to get through 40 years of this. That's no small thing. So he says this emphasizes the zechut, the merit of Am Yisrael, of the Jewish people. So Ramban talks about the merit of Hashem. Incidentally, Ramban's explanation is also what's found in the Rambam's Mor Nevuchim. And Sephorno talks about the merit of Am Yisrael. And the Mincha Belula says it's actually practical. Because we have a mitzvah, when you come to a place where a miracle happened to your ancestors, you have to make a bracha, you have to recite a blessing. Baruch sha'asa neis la'aviseinu b'makam hazeh. In fact, there's a Gemara that says that they knew exactly where they crossed the Reed Sea. And at a certain point, Shlomo HaMelech set up two pillars there. And people would come to the Reed Sea and they would look at the Reed Sea and they would know because Shlomo HaMelech set up those pillars because they heard from people who heard from people. It's only the first few hundred years. And they said, this is the spot. And they would make the bracha, Baruch Sha'asalanu Neis Makam Hazeh. And so therefore, for many, many years, and maybe even today, when somebody goes to the Sinai Desert, if you come to a place and the place is identical name with the location that's delineated in the beginning of Parshas Maaseh, Minchabul says, you make a bracha. Baruch Sha'asalanu Neis Slavisenu Makam Hazeh. Here's where there was a well, here's where manna fell, and so on and so forth. All right, so let's go to Rashi. Rashi says, and this is an obvious question in Pshut Lashon Mikra, it's such a strong question that Rashi doesn't allow guesswork as to what the question is. He even spells the question out, which is uncharacteristic. Eila Masei, these are the journeys. Lama Nichtavu Hamasois Halalu. Why were these journeys written? Why were these places identified? And he answers, Lohidia Chasodav Shomakim. It is to broadcast and make known the kindness of Hashem. But not like Ramban said, because this emphasizes the miracles. Rashi says there, on a simpler, more simple level, Hashem wants the Jewish people to know not only that He once did miracles for them, but rather that Hashem loves and cares for us, and therefore He would have done something to alleviate our pain, our travail, our anguish, or the difficulty of our journeys. Even though Almighty God decreed against the Jewish people, we got schlepped through the desert. Why did we get schlepped through the desert? It was not for our mitzvahs. It was not because we were so righteous. It was because we decided that we wouldn't go to Israel. It was our refusal that caused this. It was actually what they call in the vernacular a punishment. We got punished for doing something very bad, for being rebellious, for refusing to listen to Hashem. And as a result, Hashem said, "Bamidbar hazeh yiplu pigreichem." You're all going to drop dead right here in this desert. But not going to happen instantaneously. The execution will be stayed over the course of the next 38 years. By the time you all reach 40, everybody's going to be gone. So a person would say, well, the Jewish people earned that punishment fair and square. Hashem must have really taken their neshamas out. He must have really, as they say in Yiddish, was a gut uizgemutschut. He must have really given them a hard time, right? Dragging them through the desert every day, going somewhere else. Put your tents up, take them down. Put your tents up, take them down. Well, actually not so. Loi taimar, don't say, shahoyen na'im umetultalim, that they were in a constant state of flux, always moving, mimasa lamasa, without a day of rest, kol arbayim shana. V'lehoys lehem menucha, don't say that there was no peace or respite. Can't say that. Why can't you say that? I can say whatever I want. Well, because it's just factually untrue. And where would you see it's factually untrue? If the Torah would now list all of the places we went to over the course of 40 years, and then it's very easy, it's right in front of you. You don't have to like kind of pour through many, many different chapters of the Torah from Shemot to Bamidbar to identify different locations that the Jewish people were in and maybe figure out what the journeys are. No, it's right in front of you. Count them up. They're enumerated in succession. And you see, Ein Kanela Arboyim Vishtayim Asoyas. All we get is 42 journeys. It's right in front of us. 40 years, 42 journeys. Now, Tzeim Behem Arba Asar, take off, subtract 14 journeys. Shekulam Hayo B'Shana Rashayna Kedim Gzeira. 14 journeys were prior to the decree, the punishment that was leveled against us. Okay. And of course, these 14 journeys were Mishenasu Meramses, when we left the final point of departure in the land of Egypt, until we came to Risma. What was Risma? Shemisham Nishtalcha Meraglim. That's where the Meraglim was sent forth. So we had a number of journeys on the way to Mount Sinai, Golden Calf. That was a really dumb one. And then a lot of time there in rehabilitation until we got it all put together, put up a Mishkan, and we started journeying again. And not only was that Risma, but we sent the Meraglim on the 29th day of Sivan. So we're talking more than a year. We leave the land of Egypt on the 15th day of Nisan. And now, here we are, 14 and a half months later. 14 and a half months later, we've been through 14 journeys in 14 and a half months. And we just now sent the Meraglim on the 29th day of Sivan. And we were actually there until they came home on the 8th day of Tisha B'Av, on the 8th day of Av, and cried like a bunch of fools on the night of Tisha B'Av. Shenemar, as it's written, Va'achar Nasu ha'am mechatzeres. Afterwards, the nation set forth and journeyed from Chatzeres. And it was there that we read in the Torah, Shlach lecha anashim, where Hashem says to Moshe, if that's what you want to do, you think it's a good idea, I'm not going to stop you, you can send the people. V'kan hu eimer. And then in the next pasuk it says, Vayisu mechatzeres, vayachanu mirisma. So it says he left Chatzeres and they encamped in Risma. Lamadata, that teaches us Shehiba Midba Paran, that must be in the Paran section of the desert. In other words, all of the journeys up to Risma were prior to the sending of the Meraglim. So it turns out that the 14 journeys of the first year, which is actually almost 14 and a half months, was not included in the Gezeira. So you can't say, oh, Hashem, he was really angry at us. He punished us. He dragged us through the desert. Every day we went somewhere else. We never had any rest. Well, it's actually not so. First of all, we deserve that. But besides the fact that we deserved it, it didn't happen that way. Instead, what happened? Instead, if you have 42 journeys and you subtract 14, what are you left with now? 28 journeys. 40 years. And v'oid haitzim isham shmoinim asois shahayu lacha misasarin. There was 8 journeys, 8 stops. After the passing of Aaron, Meher Har Ad Arves Mayav, from Meher Har up to Arves Mayav, and that was B'Shnas Harbo, and that was in the 40th year, and that's Aaron passes on the first day of Menachem Av, Rosh Chodesh Av. So Rosh Chodesh Av, once Aaron passes away, then there was the final passing of the last people already had taken place the year before. On Tisha B'Av that year, and nobody died. So there was no more death. At least not this punishing death. From the month of Av, all the way until the seventh day of Adar, it's a big chunk of time. All during all that time, that was already post-punishment. Jewish people already were preparing to enter the land of Israel imminently, which they, of course, entered right before Pesach. And during that time, there was 8 journeys. So we had 28 journeys. Now we subtract another 8 journeys from the 42 journeys, which are also not punishment-worthy because they're after the saga is over. And that year, Tisha B'Av, whoever didn't die yet, went out into the fields as they had done, or I guess it was no fields, but they went outside the camp and all dug their holes, and they went to sleep, and in the morning they woke up. They all woke up, and they said, we must have miscalculated. Okay, this doesn't happen this way. We always have a mass yard site, like, you know, wake up Tisha B'Av morning, and there's like 10,000 people dead, 20,000 people dead. So they decided to sleep in their graves for a second night. So, and that was on the 9th, and then the 10th, 11th, and by the time they reached the 15th day and there was a full moon in the sky, they realized, no, nobody's dying anymore. This is it. And that was a big Yom Tov. And that was the original Tu B'Av, that was the original 15th day of Av. We realized that the dying is done. So this is after the punishment, because the dying is done.
When was it? How many years prior to...
This was the year that they entered into the land of Israel.
It was that year.
You had Rosh Hashanah, and then by Pesach the next year, we were already celebrating Eretz Yisrael. Right? So that's already after, that's post-punishment, because nobody's dying anymore. So Aaron passes on Rosh Chodesh Av, and we know how many journeys, we can count the journeys. There was Shmoyna Masoyas until Arves Mayav. Arves Mayav is the last stop with Moshe Rabbeinu, where Moshe Rabbeinu, for the last 6 weeks of his life, delivered what would seem to be an endless sermon. It's also known as Sefer Devarim. Started on Rosh Chodesh Shvat, concluded on the seventh day of Adar. And that's in Arves Mayav. So Arves Mayav, from Hor HaHor, Aaron passes in Hor HaHor. We count up from Hor HaHor to Arves Mayav. What do we get? 8 journeys. That's all B'Shnas HaRboim, that's all in the 40th year. And this is after the punishment has ended. Nimtza. So shave off a year in the beginning, shave off close to a year at the end. Nimtza shekol shmeino ushleishim shana, almost a full 38 years. Leinasu ela esrim masois. In 38 years, they traveled but 20 times. That's on average of once every 2 years. That's not a big deal. So they weren't. You can't say they were getting moved around constantly, and God was dragging them all over. That's just simply factually inaccurate. Now Rashi says, this is Emi Yisoidai, Shari Moshe HaDarshan. This comes from the foundational teachings. This is based on Rabbi Moshe, the preacher from the time of Rashi. Then Rashi says, a throwback to a previous era of teachings, Rabbi Tanchuma, who was one of the sages, who wrote a medrash called Medrash Rabbi Tanchuma, Darash Bei Drash Acheres. He expounded something very, very different from these verses. What did he say? He said, you know what's up with all these journeys? Mashal HaMelech Shehayu B'nai Choyla. There was a king, a parable, he had a sick son. He took him to a distant place to receive medicinal care, to find some kind of way to get over his illness. Now they're going back from this long journey. The father lovingly began to recount to his son all the journeys. He said, remember when you were sick? Kan yashanu. Remember here we slept, or according to another verse, Yashavnu, here we settled. Kan hukarnu, here Oyed Nebuch, you got sick, you had that terrible fever over here. In Kan hukarnu, Kan chashashta bereishcha, pardon me, here you had this terrible headache. In other words, he went over all these journeys as if to say, to remember all the travail and the difficulty that had visited them. And yet, despite it all, here we are today. Here we are today. And that's a beautiful thing. You know, you go through a harrowing experience, and then you recount the details of the harrowing experience, and you speak about it, look back. You say, look back, and say, look what happened. Look where we are today. It's just a form of saying thank you to Hashem.
Isn't that sort of like a story that you have people, through history, all the different places you went, finally today, were opposite to what they had then. They didn't go to Eretz Yisrael. They wandered because they didn't want to go. And today it's completely different. You go to Eretz Yisrael and maybe it's the fulfillment of this whole story.
Well, let me rephrase what you're asking in different words. You're asking it. You like your words? Everybody likes his own words. In other words, you want to know if these journeys presage the journey of the Jewish people. Yeah. The answer is it does. In fact, it's brought down the name of the Baal Shem Tov and other tzaddikim that every single Yid experiences 42 journeys. We experience this nationally as a nation and also personally. However, the Baal Shem Tov said, the big tzaddikim, they know which journey they're up to. The rest of us don't know. We don't know which journey we're at. Don't know. Very interestingly, when the Rebbe introduced the campaign of mikveh, of Taharas HaMishpacha, the Rebbe said in the last journey of the Jewish people at the very end, the last challenge was the challenge of harlotry of the Moabite princesses, which comes in this week's parsha. And the Rebbe said, since that we are in the final journey before Mashiach, it must be that this issue of modesty and the lack thereof will be the final challenge. And indeed, the great challenge, the great moral challenge of our age for Torah Jews is the promiscuity that is rampant in the world, all forms of promiscuity. And this is the challenge. And the Rebbe said the answer would be to intensify the mitzvah of mikveh, the family of purity. So I guess the Rebbe knew which journey we're up to. This is a very long last journey, but we're at the Arvas Mayev, you know, we're at the threshold of Hashem of Mashiach. But, you know, over history, could we have known which journey we're up to?
But all these commentaries, they didn't appreciate it. They didn't get on a plane and go to Eretz Israel. Very simple.
Okay, you're giving a polemic on all of us who sit here in Thornhill instead of moving to Israel.
No, I'm just saying.
Fine, that whatever. That's
it's something that they didn't visit when they gave all their comments.
It's part of the journey. It's not.
Ranban.
We have a different outlook of it today.
Ranban, who's a commentary I shared with you first, actually did move to Eretz Israel. Only when everything bottomed out in Spain, but he did actually move to Eretz Israel. Just. Anyway, let's stick to the text, as they say. So, there are many reasons, many explanations for why the Torah chooses to list the names of 42 different places and journeys. There are many reasons for this. In fact, I shared a number of reasons before we got to Rashi. I shared with you Ramban's reason. I shared with you Sefarna's reason. I shared with you Mincha Belulah's reason. Three different Rishayim who have totally different approaches. And there are more reasons. In fact, we know that there's 70 Pirushim, the 70 dimensions to every single detail of the Torah. So here's the simple question. Open up to the Biurim book, starting off on page Reish Lamed on the bottom, moving on to page Reish Lamed Aleph. The Rebbe asks a profoundly simple question. Madua mevi Rashi? Why does Rashi introduce Kitshuva l'she'ela as a response to the question that he himself gives ear to? Lama nichtavu hamasayis halalu. Why were these journeys listed? Why does he say shtei drashos shoynos? Two different opinions. Why does he bring two answers? The opinion or answer of Rabbi Moshe Hadarshan, and then the answer of Rabbi Tanchuma. The ein mistapek. Rashi isn't satisfied to bring one. So you see, Rashi likes to bring lots of reasons. Well, actually, he doesn't. Because there are always lots of reasons, and Rashi almost invariably will choose one reason. And if he'll introduce multiple explanations, it's because this verse would not be well understood, or at least adequately understood, with only one explanation. And one explanation necessarily complements the other. But here, it's just another explanation, another approach. One approach is that Hashem wants us to know His kindness, that even at a time when we were being punished, the punishment was not excessive. And the other approach is, this is like a loving review of all the places we were, and the difficulties that we encountered, and the travails we experienced. And yet, despite it all, now here we are, about to enter the land of Israel. That's number one. That's a very, very strong question. Question number two, L'shem ma madgish Rashi, why does Rashi emphasize besignein bilti motzi in an almost never found context, a syntax which is totally unusual, totally unique. Rabbi Tanchuma dorash bei drosha acheres. Rabbi Tanchuma, he expounded this differently. Well, obviously, if you have two explanations, so explanation one is going to be different than explanation two. That's obvious. That's how it goes. You don't have to be a genius to say, Rabbi Tanchuma, he had a different approach. You could say, Kach, this is me, you say this, Rabbi Moshe Hadarshan, but Rabbi Tanchuma, Aimer, or Rabbi Tanchuma, Pirish, and a different for Rabbi Tanchuma. Why does Rashi have to say this very unusual expression? Rabbi Tanchuma, Drosha, boy, Dorash, boy, Drosha, Acheres. He expounded this differently. I mean, obviously, he has a different explanation. He expounded it differently. So the Rebbe says, a meridika, simple, yet extremely profound answer that nobody ever suggested before. It's so simple, you wonder why. The Rebbe said, kavanas Rashi, clearly, the intention of Rashi is, loyimar, sheshtrei drashas elu mashlimais zu es zu. That these two different opinions are actually not as disparate as you think. Not only are they not disparate, but they act in concert to provide us with an adequate explanation. One explanation or the other explanation would leave us wanting. But you say, why? Seem to be both very good explanations. One explanation is that we want us to know how Hashem loves us. He didn't drag us to the desert. 38 years, 20 journeys. No. As they say, nish gefeirlach, not too terrible. Another totally different way is he's recounting. Remember, we went here, then we went there, and then we get a headache. He's recounting. Totally different approach. How does one add or complement the other? So the Rebbe says, "Drashasai shel Rabbi Moshe Hadarshan." The teaching, the first teaching introduced of Rabbi Moshe, "Masbira rak es hazkoras esrim hamasois." It only really explains the 20 journeys mentioned. Why do we have to mention these 20 journeys? Shehiskaimu, that these 20 journeys, which unfolded b'meshech shleishim u'shmeinu hashanim ha'emtzoyis, during the 38 middle years, the 38 years when Hashem had punished us, the 38 years when He was not really speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu, the 38 years when we were in a certain way distanced from Hashem because of our rebellion, because of our lack of willingness to go to the land of Eretz Yisrael. And despite the fact that we were on the outs, and God was not pleased with us, and we were being punished, and our ancestors were dying every single year on Tisha B'Av as a consequence to our refusal to enter the land. And this is nonetheless, La'idiyach hasod of shel mokem. Hashem makes known, publicizes, broadcasts His kindness to us. Shekol shmeinu u'shleishim shana, that the whole 38 years, la'inasu el esem asois, was just 20 journeys. So, in other words, Rabbi Moshe Hadarshan's explanation adequately addresses the 38 years in the middle. It adequately addresses the reason why we would have to have 20 journeys mentioned. However, then why do we mention the first 14 journeys? Why do we mention the last 8 journeys? That was not during a punishment time. The first 14 journeys are prior to the Meraglim being sent. The last 8 journeys is after the punishment is already over. So why mention them? In other words, a Moshe Hadarshan only helps us with a portion of this list. On the other hand, drasha Rabbi Tanchuma lo mazayis. The drasha of Rabbi Tanchuma masbir rakas haskaras hamasayis hashana rishena va'achreina. Rabbi Tanchuma only helps us understand the first year or 14 months or 14 journeys, and then the last less than a year, 8 months. Shabarubam israchashu meurayis ruuyin letzayin. In most of those 14 months in the beginning, they were very eventful. Lots of stuff happened. Kan yashanenu, kan hukarnu. Here we slept. Here you got a cold. Kan chashashta sreishcha. Euphemistically, this is like, you know, just describing a different situation. In the beginning, we had big stories. Story here, story there. But that was all prior to the middle 38 years. Achloi es haskaras masayis shleishim ushmeinim shanam tzayis. The 38 years, we have virtually no information about. All the narratives that we read about in the Chumash, in Chumash Bamidbar, from Shemot to Bamidbar, are all the narratives of the first years. And then on Parshas Matos, or really Parshas Balak, that's where we pick up the journey later. We're in Avos Mayav. It's the beginning. It's the end. What about the middle? We don't have details. We don't have any events to speak of, as it were. Sheklalo nizkru b'kasov ad ata v'loya dua kolamurais. Most of these journeys were never mentioned before, even. It's the first we hear of them. So how could you say that the reason we're going over these journeys is to recount and to retell the events and the experiences? There are no events and experiences. We have nothing to talk about. We don't know about those years. Therefore, Reimez Rashi. Rashi alludes in his words to the words of Rabbi Tanchuma. He says, Rabbi Tanchuma, Dorash be drasha acheres. He had a different expounding. He expounded this otherwise. In other words, Kiloimer drashasish Rabbi Tanchuma mazkira mazbira, the drasha, the drash, the expounding and teaching and explanation and clarification, elucidation of Rabbi Tanchuma only explains haskarasim shomasois ha'acherim. It's the other journeys. Drasha acheres, another drasha means the other journeys. In other words, Rashi is alluding to you that in trying to explain it, Moshe explains some journeys, and Rabbi Tanchuma explains other journeys. They're not competing, they're actually mutually independent explanations for different journeys. And only when you have both explanations side by side, only then are you able to appreciate how and why the Torah would have listed the 42 journeys. Elu, these the other journeys, she'ena muzbarim. These are the journeys which are not explained through the dasha of Rabbi Moshe HaDarshan. In other words, the journeys of the first year, the 14 journeys, and the 8 journeys. That's the drasha acheres. Drasha acheres means another explanation, another way to look at it for other journeys. They're actually explaining different things. And only therefore, when Rashi puts both together, do we have an intact explanation for all 42 journeys. And that's really amazing.
The first one explaining the punishment.
The first one explains the 20 journeys of the 38 years of punishment. And the second explains the punishment, the idea.